Welcome, movie lovers, to the Popcorn Talks Anatomy of a Movie, where today we are going to talk about Tag, You're It!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
Hey, movie lovers, we're back again to talk about another summer movie. We're just knocking them off. We're tagging them off. And today is the summer comedy Tag. Another ensemble comedy.
Yeah.
Based on a true story of buds, friends who've grown up, but their way that they keep in touch is they take a month out of the year to get together and play Tag. So, speaking of Tag, You're It, my tag team partner in crime is Marissa Serafini. We've been doing this forever, talking movies. Welcome.
Hello, Dimitri.
Hey there.
It's us two once again.
Awesome.
I enjoyed this film. It was fun. There was some action in it. There were some inappropriate jokes that were still funny no matter who's watching it. And not once did it ever lose my attention.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it did raise above, being a one joke movie, let's just say. And I enjoyed it. I was in from the trailers. I was really looking forward to it. I liked the cast a lot, and before I go more into my opinion, you should know. Well, number one, if you're joining us and you're already a fan, welcome back. If you're new to the program, you should be aware that we are very spoiler rich. We talk about these movies a week after release so that we can talk about spoilers and plot points. And we go under the assumption that you have seen the movie. That's the great way that we can go and dive deep and have discussion about the movie after seeing it. So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want it spoiled, click out. Check back after you see the movie. We are here for forever, for posterity. So, for perpetuity, posterity, all that fun stuff. I enjoy this movie on the whole. I was looking forward to it. I liked its value of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the characters a lot. I did have one caveat that for me, it took away from the movie, and it really did take away for me, for the value of friendship, which this movie was to be about. And it's in there. And to me, it used cancer as a crutch. Mm. And I didn't necessarily believe that was, I didn't find it to be necessary for the movie. I didn't think, and it comes out of nowhere. It comes at the very last 10 minutes of the movie. So it really comes sort of kind of out of nowhere. And it, for me anyways, it took away from the bonding experience. It sort of forced them to become to come together again, because you do get a sense that they've matured, they've gone their separate ways, and it almost seems harder and harder to get back together again. But I think the core value is when it comes back. Jerry Renner's character, I think, had the best line in the movie, where he says,
Jerry,
and he goes, "You know what, guys?" He goes, I fucked up. You guys should have been at my side at my wedding."
That's literally the thought that I had, because we're kind of skipping to the end of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we see the actual wedding reception and there's five random guys, I was like, right, how come it's not these guys sitting there in the pews or in those chairs? Like, they should be up there with you.
And they weren't.
If you are, quote unquote, as close and best friends as you are, how come you have all these five guys that we've never seen before standing right next to you on your special day?
Right. And I'm glad it was addressed. But to me, that's the core of the movie. The friends really weren't even invited.
No.
You know, and it was sort of kind of like, well, I knew you were going to show up anyways because I'm doing this in May.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, again, I don't think it needed the crutch to have the emotional heart of bringing friends together and learning, like, you know what, even after all these years playing this silly game, we're still together and we're still friends. So that was my only caveat. Everything else in this movie, I really enjoyed the ensemble cast. I think they really worked well together. There was really great chemistry. The women were given stuff. Isla Fisher, come on. Isla Fisher, how hysterical was she in this movie?
You're a little too intense,
honey. Yeah. she...
Yeah, like, I think she had some of the best moments because when there was a long-running fun joke, that she'd be the one who gets the last laugh of it.
Yes.
Because of her intensity and her character, where, like, they stopped it where just at the moment where it was like, okay, it's still appropriate. Then she took,
I mean, she took it
too far.
Your competitive nature.
But even that, taking it too far, made it all the more fun.
Yeah, I really, she was a standout to me.
She was hilarious.
The other standout to me, too, I have to say, is... they got Hannibal. Hannibal Buress was actually well utilized in a movie. This is a funny guy. He's been in a lot of movies, but he has bit parts. He's here and there in a movie. He's usually funny. And you're going, why is he not in this movie more? He was really well utilized as Kevin Sable. And I thought he, too, was very funny. His chemistry worked with the team as well. So it was good to see him have a meatier role and play more in an ensemble part and deliver laughs with everybody else. So how about you? Was there a standout cast-wise that you really enjoyed?
I mean, I really loved Isla Fisher because I wasn't... Yeah. Because just the whole building up of her character... When she's the one who is actually, like, putting on the joke that it's like, hey, I always just want to be a part of it. And they're like, no, you can't be part of this game because you take it too far. So, like, they already established early on that her character is super intense.
Right.
Super competitive. There's a reason why she's not in this game. And we just see every moment with every joker. She's the one who actually wants to waterboard someone. She's the one who throws the weapon. And we're like, and you're not expecting it from a woman.
No.
And but also just her character played so well.
So well.
John Hamm.
And, well, John Hamm and... Ed Helms, Hogan.
Ed Helms, yeah. And with Hogan, but like their dynamic together, they really balance each other out.
I thought so.
I was like, he's fun on a certain level, but he's also limited. She has no limits,
and she sort of pushed him. You know, like you gotta be more competitive. Come on,
right. And even... she's the one who gets the bloody nose, and she's like, let's go.
And even though at the time, no women allowed in this game of tag. Mm-hmm. She was as much a part of the game as the guys were. You're right. To me, again, she really stood out. I'm so happy that she was given something to do. And she was funny at doing it. I really appreciated that a lot. We're talking about cast. You mentioned Ed Helms. To be quite honest, I think this was one of the better roles that Ed Helms has had he was really, I felt, well utilized outside of that one plot point I talked about earlier. I really think he was funny, believable, and you really did get the sense that, you know, I just want to get everybody back together. Mm-hmm. And he was really trying to keep it alive, and I felt that character's happiness when everybody was together to play tag.
Yeah.
I thought he did. I think this is his best movie in a while. I agree.
I like Ed Helms. I've only really seen him in comedy.
Right.
So, like, that's the only genre I've seen in him. So, it didn't really feel outside of his wheelhouse, mm-hmm. but also a likable character.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who wants to get his friends together. He's the one who gets it all started. And I even like his progression of the character being from, like, it was all just fun and games to now it's serious to now, like, we really went past our limit and messed up with this whole quote-unquote miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell, you saw his character arc in a way from fun to frustration to, okay, now he's the one who wants to quit the game and call it ends and call it quits. So, like, even his character got an arc, and I wasn't really expecting it.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it was good to see him back in form. I have to talk about John Hamm, too, because he plays a very interesting character. He's a character that, on the outside, he's got, like, this multi-million-dollar company. There should be nothing fun about him. But the way that John Hamm plays him, there is fun behind him. And they, those two, he and Isla Fisher had worked together of Keeping Up with the Joneses. So, but he has proven, and he's showing, he has good chops at being in comedies, and that he really enjoys himself, and that he gets along with the crew. I really enjoyed watching John Hamm in this movie as well. And Jake Johnson, who comes from comedy, I mean, he was like the stoner loser dude here, and he had some really funny parts. He had some funny scenes. I really liked him too. I thought that the chemistry, the casting of this movie, I felt was very smart, so important to this movie and working, as opposed to if people weren't together, if they had no chemistry, this movie really wouldn't have worked. Because technically it is a one joke movie, and they made it a little bit more than that.
Right, and I agree, because there are more men in this film, and we've seen other films where it have like all generally alpha males together, and they want to rip their heads off, a.k.a. Avengers. And so, and I liked how they all seemingly felt like genuine friends.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about best friends, is that no matter how long and you've been apart or how far you are away physically from each other, whenever you see each other, it's like no time has passed at all. And it felt like that every time they went to go pick up the next friend. They're like, it's right back into the action. There was no really questions about it. They're like, all right, let's go. Let's go to this wedding. Let's start this tag game. And it felt believable between all these guys.
Yeah, so let me ask this audience and the humorists. So do you think, because the sense that I got is, even when they said cut, they hung out together. I think they had a really good time just hanging out well beyond their work hours. That's what I got. And I think that came across on screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it sometimes felt, and let me know if I'm wrong, sometimes felt that some lines felt improvised.
Oh, I felt
like
that too.
The jokes felt improvised, like they were actually joking along with each other.
But it felt natural.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I can't specifically go to a point where that was improvised, but that's what makes it really good. And that means that their chemistry together is having a good time. And I think when you're making a comedy, they should be having a good time. It shouldn't be difficult, because then it brings the audience into that movie that much more. It's when sometimes you're making a bad comedy and they seem to be having a far better time than I can be sitting in the theater watching them. But I really felt that their chemistry worked. Another aspect of the story that I liked, which is the framing device of this story, which is the Washington Post article.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed, number one, Ed Helms coming to... So Hogan is getting the team back together. He goes to Bob, John Hamm's place... the place that he owns, this high-tech company, as the janitor. Business. And John Hamm's
always
being...
wanted to clean toilets. Sure you did.
Sure you did. And John Hamm, or Bob, is having a very serious interview with a Washington Post woman who's like, there seems to be, something going on in that company that may not be right. And he seemed to have been a little bit evasive until he sees Hogan. And then the game of tag starts. And then we have this woman, Rebecca Crosby, who plays the journalist, played by Annabelle Wallace.
Who's, first of all, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I like how she's getting bigger roles every single time you see her.
Yeah, I agree. And I liked, she's the fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. Here.
Yeah, she's in every scene, think about it.
Right.
She's right next to these guys.
Right. And I appreciate the fact that she is there for one interview, but when she realizes what's going on, she's like, wait a minute, you play tag? That's a far more interesting story. I'm going to follow you guys. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And she's along for the ride. And again, I just like the framing, because that is how this story was made originally. Washington Post article inspired the writer-director. What a story mm-hmm. of friendship. And then it's this Washington Post that inspired this movie. And they, I'm glad that they put this in there as the framework, because the movie ends on the actual
group of friends.
Yeah,
you know what's I like it. There's authenticity there, and I like how there are actual friends out there in the world that does have something to keep them together. You know what's funny? When also another show that we do here on Popcorn Talk Network, Ileana Douglas, she does an interview podcast show here called I Blame Dennis Hopper. Go check out that show; it's amazing. But the funny thing is, and it's all totally relevant. She did a particular interview with a friend of hers, and she was mentioning her and her group of celebrity friends did this game of tag for years. Mm-hmm. And they would think up of incredible different creative ways to tag each other. Sometimes it would be on set when they're actually filming in movies or television shows, and they'd go up to next to each other and actually tag while they're filming and like being professional. So, and that game went on for years, and it was literally within the same week I saw the trailer for this tag, and I just had the thought, I was like, is this based on Ileana's story? And then knowing that there's another group that played tag too, I was like, this must be a thing that people still keep this going, no matter what age you are.
Yeah, and I have to say, too, it's funny you bring that up, because there was another aspect of the movie that I liked, because it did bring up a nostalgia factor. Like you said, you were thinking about, like, you can think about your past, like what you played with your childhood friends. And I think the incredible crux of the story is that these childhood friends who grew up to be adults, had their various lives, they still continue to remain in touch. And I got back to thinking, going, geez, you know, who am I in touch with childhood friend-wise? But I remember the games that I played, whether it be tag or whether it be baseball. Did a lot of Star Trek cosplay stuff, too. But there was a bit of a nostalgia factor, which lent, I believe, to the heart of this movie. Did that strike you at all? Did it make you go back and go, I'm playing with my friends? Like, what did I play with my friends growing up?
Not to make this sad, but no. Because I didn't play games that are like long-winded games like this, long-lasting games such as tag or something that keeps me together with. I don't talk to any of my childhood friends.
I haven't either, but it did make me reminisce. Like, so no board games or anything? Like, not even a game of Monopoly?
Yeah, nah.
No.
No.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I have college friends that I still do things, but it's not games. It's like whenever I get together with my college friends, we watch movies and TV. But it's not like a long-winded game such as tag that covers decades. No.
Gotcha.
No.
Interesting.
So, like, I'm more jealous that I didn't have that.
Well, okay. Well, there's a different aspect. There's a different emotion. I get that. So it was definitely one of the things that I enjoyed. And knowing that this was a true story, It's fun, considering everything that's going on in the world today, whatever that may be. It's nice to hear about these group of guys
coming together,
coming together every year and not forgetting each one another to play, of all things, tag. So,
but it's seemingly harmless, but in this movie, it went places it shouldn't have.
Yeah, so didn't Jeremy Renner learn the hard way.
The hard way. Oh, my goodness. So, one of the, I'd have to say, and like, please tell me if you do agree with me, but the whole miscarriage mishap, I think that went too far for how far this game could go. Like, what crosses the boundaries, what like delineates the boundaries of what's okay and appropriate and what's actually not funny?
Yeah, it's interesting, because that one incident too, you're not alone. The characters in the movie sort of kind of felt the same way. It's like, what the hell? Oh my God, then that's done. We're not going to abide by their rules anymore. You can't do something like that.
Right. What's the line of demarcation?
Right.
Essentially. Because it... they had this rule book of all the rules of what they could and could not do. We've only saw like maybe one page, one of the rules, but everything else was seemingly unspoken between these guys, and they just know what it is. But the audience still needs to know what is their actual limitations of this game.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, between Jeremy Renner and the woman who played his wife, they played it so well that as the audience member, we end up being duped, too. Because like when Jeremy Renner says, don't come near me, I'll twist your head off with my, you know.
Yeah.
And like, you believed them, and they all felt really bad. And as an audience member, you're like, ooh, the game is over.
Right. But also when we find out that it was faked. But I think what makes it all the more worse is that the woman is in on it.
Oh, and she's gloating.
She's gloating, but also you don't expect a woman to fake a miscarriage either, because that is such a, and I know women who actually have personally gone through miscarriage, it's such a disheartening, heartbreaking
event
in a woman's life, not just the men, but like for a woman, it's a terrible situation to go through. So to see an actual woman joke about it makes it all the more disrespectful.
Well, it was so, like when they show up at the wedding and they realize and they slowly come to the realization that they were duped and they're pretty pissed off. And as an audience member too, I was like going, ooh, that really is low. And then for her to be gloating about it, and she was. It wasn't sort of okay. So you got the anger of those guys when they said, and then when Ed Helms' character says, that's it. Like, there are no rules. If you can go that low, there are no rules. Mm-hmm. You totally are on his side for that. Totally are on his side. So we were talking about the unexpected and filming these scenes. You know, we can't talk about this movie without talking about Jeremy Renner's character, whom the movie is...
Jerry,
and who the movie... He's it. He's they play tag. He's never been tagged. It is the goal of all the players to get him. The reigning champ forever since he was a kid. And what I found, he had a little bit of a mishap. And this is Mr. Avenger. This is Mr. Jeremy Renner, who we see as Hawkeye. He's great as a superhero.
Arguably the most athletic out of all the five guys.
Oh, arguably.
Mm-hmm. Pretty obviously.
Yeah. But a good actor all on his own. And mm-hmm. and this is a guy that's been in Bourne movies, Mission Impossible movies. I found it really great to see him in a comedy. I mean, the last movie that I remember seeing him in, which was really good, a little bit dark, the one where he played a tracker Native Indian and he's in this embroiled in this. It's very Noorish. Right now I can't think of the name, but it'll come to us. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. But this is a guy that was in the town. Oh, Wind River. I so highly recommend Wind River. But this guy's been in movies like The Hurt Locker, The Town, Wind River.
Arrival was more dramatic.
Right. So, The Avengers, you argue, it's a comic book movie. It's a superhero movie. But I've never seen him in a comedy. And he works. He gets it. He was funny. And he did a really good job. And then to his athletic capabilities, there was a stunt gone wrong that he did, and he ends up breaking both of his arms. Both of his arms. A lot of the movies filmed, he has casts on his arms. That, to me, is crazy. And they still were able to.
And you would never know.
No. A little bit of digitalization over here and there.
But also, if you think about it, he's always wearing a leather jacket, too.
And sometimes he was filmed from afar. But it didn't stop him from doing the physical.
Yeah.
Which is great.
What also I loved about just the development of Jerry's character, because, you know, they already established that he's never been, he's so good, but this is where I feel the voiceover was actually used very well. Mm-hmm. We've talked about films where voiceovers can like completely ruin it when too much narration.
Get in the way of things.
This was so well done. It was very Guy Ritchie, Sherlock Holmes-esque way of how they approached just how Jerry thinks of every step during the action.
Right.
I'm going to do this, then this, then this. This person's thinking this. He's already, so just hearing his internal dialogue, the audience understands he's five steps ahead of every one of these guys.
Right.
And that's how he can play this game for so long and so well. And I liked it. And even the internal dialogue was funny with everybody.
Absolutely.
Hazelnut coffee.
Hazelnut coffee.
What kind of bitch drinks hazelnut coffee? I agree. Hazelnut is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's my personal preference.
I really felt, too, that the stunts were fun to watch. And to me, it elevated it from being that one joke movie. They upped the stakes. You know, it gets a little bit, you know, you get a little far when they're drawn into the woods and such. You know, it goes a little far. It's like, how does he... Wait, he actually planned this out? So,
too far ahead.
But it's still, to me, it was funny. It's entertaining, and it delivered laughs, which, listen, I love a good comedy. And this year, we've had some good ones. We've talked about Blockers.
It's been a good year for original comedy.
I think so. And it's been a good year for ensemble comedies. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is the way... Maybe because of movies like The Hangover and Bridesmaids, you know.
You know, friend dynamics work.
Correct. And I think that the ensemble is working. I think it works. And when you get the right cast and a good, decent enough script to do it, to pull it off, you get a movie like Tag, which is very watchable. And yeah, I really appreciated it. So,
and also with the comedy, it was like with the ensemble characters, but also this movie does have a lot of slapstick moments too.
Oh, absolutely.
Which, you know, I'm a fan of the slapsticks. So even like all the physical things that were awful in the forest, but also brilliant to watch. When Chili got hit by a log, I was like, no way could a regular man survive that.
You're not waking up from that.
I was
that.
Like, you're dead. That log would have crushed your sternum, collapsed both of your lungs, and you'd be dying out of suffocation.
Well, and don't forget, Chili but also fell funny. Off a balcony into an right. air conditioner.
But like even throwing donuts at someone and using donuts as a weapon, something as nefarious as a donut could be, it's more innocuous type of object, but using that in a very hysterical way, there's a lot of physical humor to this.
Absolutely, and filming the donut scene in slow motion so that when the donut hits the face, ooh, and the powder puffs up, and he's just like a frisbee. Like a mini frisbee who's throwing them.
Like a martial art. He's like, he used the donut like a flying star. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And oh, that scene in the cafeteria was very funny.
Brilliant.
Too. And the stunt work was it was just really well done. So basically the film, you know, since we're talking about this, the film was shot during the summer in and around Atlanta. What isn't being shot in and around Atlanta these days? They had Larry Blanford was the cinematographer. He's been around for a little bit, this guy. And he's done a lot of comedies. And he also came up in the world of shooting giant action sequences. So action and comedy do go together really well when they're filmed well. I mean, it's part of what makes really good action movies is bringing in some humor. It could be an action movie, but it can make you laugh too. Mm-hmm. You know, Die Hard has some humorous moments. The Lethal Weapon movies have comedy peppered, salt and pepper throughout. You know, this is a movie that sort of, well, it takes comedy, introduces action, and then it becomes the physical comedy. I like that the scene in the mall. The scene in the mall.
With a rocker.
With a walker.
The thing that like so literally funny. Makes you feel like you're not a quote, because you don't have to be old to be a used walker, but it's usually paired up with old age and senility and lack of physical ability. But even he used that as a weapon.
Oh, it was
dressing up as an old woman.
And it was hysterical. And again, we know Jeremy Renner plays Hawkeye, so we know he, as a superhero, he's very nimble, but it's as if he's taken all of his experience, whether it be working with Tom Cruise or working with the Avengers, and he used them here. We see him out of these other places, but using this physicalness to make people laugh. And it worked. It worked. And
he has intelligence from Mission Impossible, and he has the physicality from Avengers, and puts it into this movie.
Right. So when you have a good stunt coordinator, Eric Linden, and then you're working with trying to make stunts that are comedy. And again, it goes back to the silent age of comedy. You know, Buster Keaton and such. They
Charlie
were
Chapman.
stunt people, yeah, in a sense, right? And they're doing this, what's dangerous, but it's physical and it's comedy. You laugh at what they do. I'm glad that those tropes today can still be used, where stunt work can be used for comedic effect. But you can turn it, and if you're making an action movie, it looks great as an action scene. And just a little bit of tweaking here and there, it's a great physical comedy scene.
Right. I think one of the best physical stunt people who mixes action together of our day, in like of this generation, definitely Jackie Chan.
Oh, sure.
Perfect example. I mean, he's a great example. Comedy and action together. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. And that's his claim to fame.
Yeah.
So in doing that, and we were talking earlier today about physical comedy. It's tough today. Do audiences want to pay attention to physical comedy? You know, in a movie, Tag relies on physical comedy and elevating the one joke into sequences or set pieces that are comedic because they're so outlandish. Mm-hmm. You know, jumping over tables, making it look like a pure on action sequence, but he's not dodging bullets, he's dodging donuts or getting coffee thrown into your face.
That's still the funny, because that's also the hazelnut coffee, right, is in the trailer, and that's the moment that made me laugh out loud. I was like, yes, I have to see this movie. Yes.
And it still makes you laugh. That's another good sign too, when you've seen the trailer enough times, sometimes you get tired of seeing the trailer. But that one scene that's in the trailer, if it still can affect you while you're watching the movie and you still find it funny, the movie's working to an extent.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, it works in the movie because this is the first time these guys are actually practically really close to actually catching Jerry.
Right.
They locked him in. They were ahead five steps before Jerry. And Jerry, and they got him trapped in a room. Like, this was like the moment where they were the closest is actually succeeding.
Yep. And I think where the movie too does a good balance of that cartoonish fantasy action, and yet it's still grounded in this reality because it is today's world. And then you throw in a little dash of nostalgia. So I think that's where a lot of this movie really, really works. And it does it very, very well. Mm-hmm. So, and again, just from a story standpoint, you know, the end comes out of sort of kind of nowhere. But the key part to that movie is, I rescind the rule, women are allowed to play.
You're it. I don't want to be it. You're it.
You know? But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, but I would have to ask, like, just another storyline that kind of, I felt, didn't really go anywhere.
What's that?
And was Rashida Jones' character, Cheryl. Coming, being the woman, of course, when you're friends at such a young age, of course, you go through puberty together, so there's always a love triangle somewhere. And Cheryl was that person. Is she the Yoko of the group?
She's the Yoko, and she was.
And I love that. Chili. And like, I love Rashida Jones. She's amazing. I love her in everything that she does. She's awesome. But I was kind of more upset that this storyline didn't really go anywhere. We were kind of left that she chose Chili, but it ended there. Are they gonna go on a date? Are they now back on together? It felt like it wasn't fully fleshed out, and it didn't have an ending to the story.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that Chili's character was the right choice because John Hamm. No offense, Jake Johnson, you're a funny guy, good actor, good look. But John Hamm, especially too in the movie, he's made to be more handsome. And he has a job. He has a company.
Like, he's successful.
Where Chili is down in the dumps. And I get it. Divorce, trying to cope with that. Oh, my God, Brian Dennehy, his dad in the movie was a cameo. Welcome back, Brian Dennehy, with his son. Sorry, Mr. Dennehy. I didn't think you were with us anymore. Seeing you in this movie, I was like, oh my God, that's Brian Dennehy. So great. He was so funny getting high with his son. But going back to Chili's character, he was really down in the dumps there. So giving him the relationship I was fine with, because maybe it gives that character some inspiration to go out, get a job, be better.
Get like a win in life.
Get a
win. At least he gets the girl.
And I liked how Bob, John Hamm's character, says, yeah, you know what? Go for it. You know, because I was sort of kind of looking that Bob was maybe going to be with the Washington Post journalist. He was doing okay for himself.
Yeah, with Rebecca
Crosby. But you're right. I agree with you.
It just kind of ended.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like it didn't really have an ending, because we saw her go like talk to Chili, but then that was it.
Yeah. I do want to talk about one cameo in the movie that I really thought was utilized very well. She was hysterical. Nora Dunn is Linda Malloy, the mom, and she was hitting on Chili. Yeah, it was Chili.
Yeah,
it was Chili. Oh my God. She too was really funny. And she was giving something to do. And, you know, Nora Dunn she's had a history in comedy, sat in SNL and such. Still funny. Still funny. It was good to see her. And she had, like you said, they had these little surprise moments that were actually funny in this movie that was unexpected. And that's, you know, this summer we need a good, and this is a good rated R comedy. It never really crossed outside of, and I agree with you, outside of the miscarriage, but the raunch never really got hyper raunchy.
Right. I get raunchy enough. I think one of the first raunchiest jokes was probably the bear. the teddy bear. He's like, I'm going to do awful things to your teddy bear in your own bedroom. I'm like, please do not show that. And I'm glad they did it. But that's also the good building up of a joke. And the audience's imagination running wild with it. I was like, yeah, that was a good use of how dirty and how far their jokes could be.
It went off to show Jeremy Renner's comedic chops. Mm-hmm. Like, he carried it off. It looked like he was having fun doing it. And again, I like when you see a person in a comedy that you don't necessarily expect to be in a comedy. And when they're able to pull it off, that to me is good acting. And it makes me like that actor that much more. And I think it does help when you are in an ensemble with people who are familiar with comedy. Hannibal Buress is a comedian. You've got Jake Johnson, who's been in New Girl. He's been in comedies a lot. So John Hamm can do comedy. So these people, they were well put together. Kudos to the casting crew. For getting these folks together.
Okay.
And for me, it's really good to have comedies out there. We can talk a little bit about box office.
Especially in the midst of summer.
Oh, yeah.
In the midst of tentpole movies.
Absolutely.
So box office, I mean, it opened up on June 9th.
We're looking at June 9th? Release date, June 15th.
June 15th. So I was a week before that, even off. But domestically, it's made about 15 million.
Yeah, opening weekend, it came at number 3, which is okay. It's done thus far 22 million. You know, I know it got a B+ in Cinema Score, which isn't bad. You know, I think B+ for a comedy is good. Yeah, sure. It's rated R comedy. I think it's really good. I wish it had done a little more, only because it is summer, and summer comedies used to rain in the day, and this one's not, but it's by far not a bad comedy, but I guess it must be, it's tough when you are surrounded by the tent poles
this
of the week.
This is the kind of programming to Incredibles 2. More families were seeing that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Than the men seeing this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what it was that didn't drive people to go see it. I remember I saw it on preview night Thursday night. My theater wasn't overly crowded, but it was definitely delivering laughs. The audience I was with liked it.
Right.
How about you?
And I mean, if you think about it, for all these five guys, only maybe John Hamm and Jeremy Renner can hold a movie on their own as actors. And this is an ensemble piece. If you think about the other guys, like, they can't sell a movie by themselves.
Right.
It's like John Hamm and Jeremy Renner are arguably the biggest actors out of these two. Mm-hmm. So it's not like people are going for the ensemble aspect. Right. They're just going for the comedy.
Yeah, and let's face it too, like Jeff Tomsic is the director, and it's his like directorial debut motion picture. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
Right? I thought he did a really good job, all things considered, with his cast and crew. He got him to deliver. What did you think about the pacing?
I thought it was fun. Not once did it lose my attention. I liked how it didn't become a road trip movie when we were yes. picking up all the guys. We went from city to city to city, situation right. to the next situation. And then once we got to the wedding weekend, it was like anything within these windows. And I like that. They actually gave themselves an actual time window. It was like, this has to happen now,
right.
this, and this. And you can see like moments of their characters and their younger selves and their inner child coming out, mm-hmm. especially with the walkie-talkies.
Right.
Do you have all the exits, you know, closed off and stuff? It's like, you can tell that there was some aspect of these characters where their inner child was at play
absolutely.
Compared to these adults. So it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. I also like the guy that played the bartender. Like, he was funny.
He's so desperate to be in that group.
He wanted to desperately be in the group, and they're like, no. So that was like another little tidbit in this movie that I enjoyed. So listen, I don't know what else we can talk about here and tag. Well, we should tag our audience for sure.
Yeah.
Marissa, why don't you, give final thoughts and tag them with your socials.
Yeah.
And how they can support you.
I think this movie has a good rewatchability factor. For a comedy, I would probably rewatch this film.
Mm-hmm.
I think the females had good roles in this compared to the five guys that we watched throughout, but they had good moments in this movie, which also makes them give some spotlight and some love. Mm-hmm. Well-balanced with humor, physicality, and just intelligent wit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Overall, I actually enjoyed it. Yeah. I wasn't really expecting much, but I got a lot of laughs out of this one.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think it's a really good... It delivers laughs during the summer. We need good comedies. I wish that it stayed more on the friendship crux. Not having to use a sickness or a disease to really rein everybody in, because I felt that the main theme was friendship. Mm-hmm. So, and again, it's a great arc where Jerry's character says, you guys should have been, I messed up. And I like that too, because a man who is so self-confident in himself and not being tagged,
mm-hmm.
when somebody like that can say, I messed up, you guys are my friends. That to me right there, that's what this movie is all about. So I wish it had more of that, but it delivers laughs. I had a great time. I had a very good time watching this movie. It was fun, and it delivered laughs. So where can people follow you on the Twitter or the Instagram or wherever you want to share with us?
Everyone can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV.
And where else can they find you on the Popcorn Talk Network or AfterBuzz? Where else can people like follow you and watch you?
Yeah, you can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Movie Anatomy, at The Popcorn Talk. I also produce another Popcorn Talk show called On the Fly Filmmaking. We interview a lot of above-the-line talent, directors, writers, producers, who actually give their life experience and their successful careers within the industry and tell you amazing film knowledge
great.
That people should know of.
Yeah, and for me, I'm just on the old Twitters, so at dmovies1701, you can follow me there. I'm also been a guest host for the time being on Meet the Movie Press, which is also on the Popcorn Talk Network. Have a great time talking movies here. Always have a great time talking movies with the crew here. Phil, you know, we'll welcome you back, but I love the tag
team. He's running away from us.
He's running away.
He knows he's going to be it.
Yeah, he's always it. He's the it guy. But you and I are a great tag team. I always enjoy talking movies with you and your perspective. You folks, please add your perspective to the discussion. Join us on YouTube or iTunes. Put your comments down. Tell us what you think of the movie. What are you looking forward to this summer? We've got so much more to discuss this summer.
Yeah.
Jurassic World, Mission Impossible, so many more movies. so little time, but we'll be there.
Yeah, and we covered a lot of good comedies in the past. Oh my god. Too.
Yeah. So. Check out Blockers. Really fun comedy right there.
And check up Gay Night.
Yeah. Oh, right. I just rewatched it. Awesome. So, all right, folks. Well, enjoy your weekend. Have a good time. See you at the movies. Thanks for watching.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.